slide here just lets you know that Julie Vancini was a graduate student that worked with me on several of the sub-projects with the partnership, and she wasn't able to be with us today, but she's a graduate student in community health education. The partnership at the University of Rhode Island was established through a faculty proposal that was written to the president of the university in 2003. And the president of the university gave the colleges that wrote this proposal a total of about $250,000 between all the colleges to do a combination of research, education, and community service in a collaborative methodology. The overall purpose of the project was to explore academic training, research, outreach, service learning for students and faculty from a variety of disciplines to address the problem of food, hunger, and nutrition, which was growing in Rhode Island, but also to develop some comprehensive solutions to food security and food insecurity problems in our diverse low-income population. Generally, in the U.S., about 11% of all U.S. households lack the necessary resources that they need to access nutritionally adequate and safe foods. In Rhode Island, this transfers to about 44,000 people in Rhode Island who rely on our food pantry systems, soup kitchens, and shelters to feed themselves and their family. In Rhode Island, 44,000 people is about 4.5% of the population, because we have just under 1 million people in the state. The background includes something of a combination of hunger, food insecurity, and poor nutrition outcomes are integrally linked with poverty, as well as the complex cultural, political, social, medical, and environmental factors that shape food availability and intake. They made the background and the mission statement and the philosophy very broad so that we could include people from a variety of colleges and departments within the university. In the end, it pulled together people from multiple disciplines, faculty, students, and all together the groups worked on the phenomenon of food insecurity and hunger, as well as malnutrition in the state. This was one of the communities. This photo is just one of our community service groups that worked in the community. Besides doing the service, they analyzed issues of poverty and hunger across the disciplines within the university, and they tried to come up with a collaboration for new approaches and solutions to the problem of hunger. Some of the university's departments that were involved in the partnership included the College of Arts and Science, which at the University of Rhode Island included our nutrition department. Within the nutrition department, we had a person who had been doing studies on low-income populations and malnutrition in the state. And in the College of Environmental and Life Sciences, we had people involved in looking at mapping systems throughout the state to look at distribution of food pantries, as well as soup kitchens, markets, etc. In the College of Nursing, it was I represented the College of Nursing to be involved in health outreach related to food and food insufficiency. Gerontology department was included in human science to look at older adults in poverty and malnutrition. The Coastal Fellowship Program was a research program students could apply to get funding to help us do research in the community. Pharmacy was involved to a limited degree. They had more involvement at the beginning in terms of helping us look at some of the issues in terms of vitamins and whatnot. Were there other things that we could be doing for nutrition difficulties? And a small group of faculty in engineering that worked on GIS systems to look at the distribution and density of food sources in the state were involved as well. Some of the community partners included an organization I've been involved with for many years, which is Crossroads Rhode Island. Rhode Island being a relatively, well, is the smallest state, Crossroads Rhode Island is basically our state's outreach program for the homeless, and it includes, it has an overnight shelter at this point, it includes social service laundry, it includes a medical clinic, and what they allowed us to do with the partnership there was to actually do education outreach, but also to do food stamp sign-ups. But also they gave myself and some of the research students the opportunity to go in and do studies with homeless people about how they had tried to receive food over time and what their actual food intake was. The Rhode Island Free Clinic allowed the same thing. It's a clinic that services anyone in the state without health insurance. And in this case, they're servicing people that are not homeless, and that's the differentiating characteristic between these two clinics. And they too allowed us to go in and do food education, asking about pantries, pantry use, etc. And one of the things that the partnerships found in both of these locations was that although the food pantries existed, only mostly domiciled people used the food pantries. Less than 6% of the people that we talked to in each of these settings actually used the pantries because they had no place to store the food. The Rhode Island Food Bank was the setting that basically stores the food, and we did work on trying to get better donations into the food bank. Our findings were showing that when people were picking up food at the food bank or donating food, it was mostly pastas and gravies and basically items with a lot of preservatives in it, fat in it, sodium in it. And so over time, we tried to redesign the food donation system with information that went on the bags. I don't know if you have them in your states as well, the bags that go out usually before Thanksgiving that have donation bags on it, on the outside of it. We specifically addressed the areas that were weak. And those areas included, as you would probably guess, fruits and vegetables. And so many times they say non-perishable and to do donated cans, so we even suggested donating canned fruits and canned vegetables, so at least there would be some of those products to choose from within the food pantry system. The Feinstein Foundation is a fairly big philanthropist. Feinstein himself is a philanthropist in Rhode Island who does a lot of programs to get food to the population. He started off by donating our monies to our first food breakfast program in the state. So he created a Feinstein Hunger Center at the university where we are to do outreach to make sure that we connect with people in the community and related to issues of hunger. That center also houses the state food stamp program. The Rhode Island Campus Compact takes all the college students in the state of Rhode Island who are interested in doing community service for the state. So it not only includes the University of Rhode Island that had became a partner for this, but also within this compact it included Rhode Island College, it included Brown University, Rhode Island School of Design, Johnson & Wales, Providence College, Bryant College, and the Community College. And so students in every one of those colleges were invited to be involved in any kind of service to the community related to in relationship to food and hunger. The work tried to concentrate on low-income populations. We did more outreach through the partnership with older adults, children, homeless populations, the working poor, and with immigrants. We tried to make those our target populations. Again, the focus was generally the three general categories that you see in most of the universities, which is education, service, or community outreach and research. The community engagement feature of the partnership was to try to not only construct a framework that unites food and hunger resources in the state, but to try to create some kind of a sustainable program, which at this point is in question. I will hopefully mention it at the end a little bit more, but sometimes when you start off with projects this broad that you want to do all this work in, that sometimes it's a little frustrating that all the pieces don't pull together for you. But we tried to work together with the partners to focus on these these events and to try to make them sustainable. And I think sustainability is one of our failures. In terms of interdisciplinary, in terms of education, we created one course at the University of Rhode Island that students in the compact from other schools were invited to. It was an interdisciplinary course titled Hunger and Poverty. We worked really hard to recruit students in it, and we sent out notices for over a year, and we only ended up with 35 students in it, which is relatively low. But within that, there was a community service component, and it included working at either the soup kitchens or at some of the shelters or at the food pantries, and also, as Sarah mentioned, having the reflective journal that goes along with some of the service learning. And we also have a course on the campus called URI 101, and it's that kind of course they've created in many universities to decrease attrition rates within the university settings. And the course is designed to get students connected with the university, but they decided to use 13 of the URI 101 set courses and one of the high school classes in the state to be very involved on the service learning component with the nutrition project by itself. Other faculties could be choose to be involved in another type of service learning, but we had 13 at least of the URI 101 classes involved in that, which gave us 300 student volunteers over the course of a couple of semesters to do some of the work in the soup kitchens and pantries. Also, in terms of education, we started to sponsor movie nights once a month within the dormitories on campus. And in that, we would show a film that related to food, hunger, or nutrition. And one of them was Super Size Me, which I know most of you have seen by now, but we also used 30 Days on Minimum Wage and a video conference from the World Food Day of 06. And we used this to spark conversation, interest, any kind of any type of spark at all that we get people involved in this discussion. We invited a lecturer, Hugh Joseph, who really was he was a person that helped us to work on our gardens in the state, the gardens that are worked with in terms of communities. And we went into one of our lower income areas, which also had our highest infant mortality rates, et cetera. And we developed a group garden or a community garden, which many of you know that it not only gives food, but it brings communities together. And that's what he helped us to get going in the city of Providence. Some of the outreach activities that the partnership was involved in was a mapping project, which, in all honesty, it was a project that I was not involved in at all. And since I've been at this conference this year, I've heard more about GIS and mapping. And they actually worked on trying to get a sense of where, using this GIS system, where are all the supermarkets in the state? Where are they in relationship to the poor areas, in relationship to the rural areas? Where are the food pantries? Where are the soup kitchens? How do people access foods? And one of the things that we found out is that in our city of Providence, we have sections of Providence that are fairly affluent, and they have whole food stores, and they have, you know, other types of organic supermarkets, and they're clustered in neighborhoods. And then when we go into our poorer neighborhoods, we actually did have the opportunity to have a Shaw's that was built in one of our neighborhoods, and within a matter of a year, it closed down. And then we had a Stop and Shop built in another one of our poorer neighborhoods, and it closed down within 2 years. And I had visited both supermarkets, and I was amazed. First of all, the parking lots were empty, because in those neighborhoods, people do not have cars. So you had this huge parking lot with no need for it. The bus stop was not near the markets, and the markets were pretty empty. And so we had decided to do food stamp sign-ups in those markets, and we hardly had anyone to talk with. So there is still the issue of affordable food close to the people that need it, that are in poverty. We also had a food stamp nutrition education program that we increased a lot of outreach with that. We have, for everyone that was eligible for food stamps, we end up having, I wish I could remember the numbers, but it's less than half the people that are eligible for food stamps are even on them. And some of the rationales we were given when we went to the free clinics and to the homeless shelter was that they couldn't really use them. they were saying that, you know, I have the food stamps, but what am I going to do if I have no place? I'm living in a shelter, or I'm living in a friend's apartment, or we don't have a kitchen. They're in an SRO. I pick up my food stamps, and I can't cook anything. I can't prepare it. I have no place to store it. I have no refrigerator. I have no stove. So this thought carried on to another project that we're working on at this point. Let me move ahead. One other thing that we tried, because we, as all of us know, that some people, not all of us, learn through the cognitive and the psychomotor, we knew that there was also going to be an aesthetic approach to getting at issues of food and hunger. So we did run an art show for a period of time on the faces of hunger. And this was also done at our Providence campus, as opposed to our rural campus in Kingston, where the main campus is. And this, we kept running in the gallery, in the halls of the Providence campus for a period of time, and we just used it as points of talking in some of the classes. We also had outreach with the Department of Health, where the Department of Health created a survey with some of the medical students at Brown University to get them to do research on access and obesity issues. And they were doing a study the same time that I was, but their survey, I actually think, was better than mine. Their survey was 2 pages, and in it they'd actually say, did you have any greens yesterday in your diet? And did you have, how many pieces of fruit did you have yesterday? And my survey was a 24-hour food diary, which you can just imagine how much longer it took and the accuracy with it. It seemed as if their approach, I think, worked better than mine in collecting data. Also in terms of outreach, the graduate student that actually worked on my project with me also provided expertise to the local food pantries in terms of trying to get a sense of their demographics, so that when people said to them, what do you need in terms of donation, if they received funding from any other sources, they could actually give them data. So the student helped them to set up systems to put this data together. And then, of course, the nutrition classes, which we already mentioned. Another thing that was found through the students' surveys in Rhode Island, especially in the southern part of the state, we already had lunch programs for the children in the city. In our inner city, we ran lunch programs at the playground during the summers. But what we found is that the children that lived in the southern rural part of the state, that some of them were hungry midday, so they tried to create lunch programs throughout the playgrounds in the southern part of the state and the beaches. And they also had a Native American project where they tried to be involved with that local food system and food security for the Native Americans. In Rhode Island, the Native Americans are not as visual as they are in some of the other states. And they are often a hidden population with very many health needs. In one of the research projects, students were actually asked to go out and do windshield surveys. And they were taught to do these windshield surveys in the rural towns in the southern part of the state. And they were basically asked just to look at generally, without hard data, give us a sense of what you're seeing in terms of neighborhoods and where things are, and do you notice any places to get food? Do you see people walking to get food? Do you see them walking with their bags? What are you seeing when you drive around? But eventually, this was developed into a harder survey that was actually distributed in terms of the food access in those areas. And then eventually, 250 consumers were interviewed regarding to their practices in shopping in that southern part of the state. Also, what was done is students were asked during their service project to go out to the grocery stores and do a survey of the prices of things. And those of you that have lived in cities versus urban areas versus suburbs know that there's major difference in pricing from one area to another. And the areas that are poorest don't always have the best prices. So there was that difficulty as well. The study that I did with the students was a 24-hour food survey of hunger and food insecurity with the homeless. I had 125 in the sample, and this group had minimum recommended serving of fruits and vegetables by over three-quarters of the sample, and 77% of the people that we interviewed were overweight or obese, which I did not expect. I know that that's true for our low-income population, but I didn't know that would be true for the homeless, based on how far they have to walk for their meals and whatnot, and not always getting their meals. I'll skip through these other projects that were done. What I do want to talk about is, in the end, what we're trying to focus on is making sure people have access at all times to sufficient food, and at the minimum, have at least nutritionally adequate and safe foods in socially acceptable ways. One of the things that we're working on based on the results of this project so far is that we're trying to modify the state's food stamp program. I'm working on a grant with many of these agencies that are involved in this project. The money has run out from the university. And so what we're working on now is trying to get the food stamp program to modify so that people that don't have kitchens or houses can use their food stamp card to buy already prepared meals at restaurants or diners or whatever. And we're hoping it will work because one of the rationales they used for not renewing their food stamps and not being on it was that they couldn't really prepare the foods or have a place to store it. We're also working on supportive housing for those that do eventually get housing, and continuing education, and of course having housing and jobs just so that you can have a meal. And do you have any questions? We created a mapping. In the mapping project, we mapped out where all the spots in the city were, and we put it on the back of, we put a sign on the back of the buses about contacting the university. And the problem is you need a phone or an internet to do that. And at this point, we have not changed the bus routes, but we have passed out information on how to get to these places. And that's all we've done so far, but that would be an excellent, that's an excellent suggestion to try. And as far as the business community being involved, right now we're working in conjunction with, someone said it's another fast food place, but to me it's a little bit step up, is Subway. Chain has agreed to work with us with the food stamp vouchers, with this food stamp card to allow them to use it if we get permission through our Department of Health and Human Services. Leftover food is already being, we get a lot of leftover Dunkin' Donuts and Entenmann's. Yeah, we get lots of that. Anything else? There is definitely a housing supply problem. We have increased numbers of homeless every month. Our largest state shelter housed 75 homeless people a night, was closed this past March by the governor because he said the state could no longer afford it, although it was funded through other monies as well, federal monies. So all of those people have moved onto the streets or into a place, Crossroads, which was not a shelter. We opened up the room where the clinic is and it became an overnight spot. There is a problem, and I can see it. I think it's growing across the country because of housing issues. Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot of